This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This A's Cast download is brought to you by LinkSoul. Go to LinkSoul.com and by Nest Bedding. Love where you sleep. Go to NestBedding.com.
This is Green and Gold history. 50 plus years of stories, championships, and colorful characters.
A's are the world champion.
This is A's Baseball. This is Green and Gold history.
Hi, this is Vince Cotronio. Each Tuesday and Friday during the season on A's Total Access, we are celebrating the greatest moments in Oakland history. 57 years of memorable moments, triumphs, and accomplishments. Let's relive some of the greatest moments in Oakland history on this episode of Green and Gold History.
As we move through the 2024 season, we will look back on some of the greatest moments in Oakland A's history. Naturally, it starts with the greatest player ever to wear the green and gold. And it won't be the last time Ricky Henderson left his mark on Oakland and baseball history. Even though he was born in Chicago, Henderson grew up in Oakland and forever left his mark. He had to choose what was the best path for him to use his tremendous athletic skills at an early age. With help from his mother, Bobby, and some financial incentive from a certain high school administrator, the Man of Steel staked his claim.
I did not like baseball. My counselor, Mrs. Wilkerson, bribed me into playing baseball. She would pay me a quarter every time I would get a hit, a run score, or stole a base. After my first 10 games, I had 30 hits, 25 run score, and 33 steal. Not bad money for a kid in high school.
His Cooperstown plaque boasts of stealing the most bases and scoring the most runs in Major League history, while adding over 3,000 hits. The spotlight was never too bright for Ricky, as baseball fans found out on August 27, 1982. Already an all-star, the 82 season got underway with his manager Billy Martin telling him he would break Lou Brock's single-season stolen base record of 118 set in 1974. Ricky already had a 100 steal season from 1980. Going into a 13-game homestand in August, he needed 12 steals to break the record, but fell too short of setting the mark at the Coliseum. So it was off to Milwaukee. Ricky tied the record in the first game. Then the following day, facing Doc Medich, he grounded out in his first at-bat. Then in the third inning, he walked. Future Hall of Famer Ted Simmons was behind the plate, setting in motion his sprint to history.
Henderson poised for the record attempt here as he leads again, getting a good size lead. He's running. A pitch out, the throw to second. He is safe at second. He's stolen 119. Ricky Henderson steals on a pitch out. Oh, Ricky Henderson going on a pitch out and still beat the throw from Ted Simmons for his 119th steal.
Lou Brock had become a frequent observer as the inevitable was about to happen, and he was in Milwaukee as well.
And today, you might have been the greatest competitor that ever run bases in the big leagues. I say congratulations to you. You are now truly a legend of your time. Congratulations.
Ricky was the attraction of 1982. The A's lost 94 games, and Billy Martin wore out his welcome as manager. Not only did Henderson break the record, he finished the year with 130 steals, a modern-day record likely never to be broken. August 27, 1982, the date Ricky Henderson made the single-season stolen base record his own, one of the greatest moments in Oakland A's history.
athletics and the postseason were becoming commonplace as they began the 21st century. 2000, 2001, and 2002 meant October baseball for the green and gold, and 2003 was no different. The 96-win A's played the 95-win Boston Red Sox in the division series. Game 1 was an unforgettable affair, which featured one of the greatest moments in Oakland A's history. The opening matchup was a powerful pitching duel between the A's' Tim Hudson and the Red Sox' Pedro Martinez. But when the dust settled, neither figured in the decision. A 3-2 Oakland lead was flipped in the top of the seventh with a Todd Walker homer off of Ricardo Rincon. Running out of time to take advantage of the raucous home crowd of over 50,000, trailing 4-3 with two outs in the ninth, left-hand hitting Eurubio Durazo, who batted .283 versus southpaws that season, beat the matchup against Alan Embry.
Burns leading at second, representing the tying run. He's taken off for third. Swing and a slicer. There's Ramirez on the move. It falls in for a base hit. The run is in. This game is tied.
We got a fastball. Once again, out over the plate. Durazo is very good at hitting the ball at all parts of the field. Did exactly what you should do on a fastball away. Let it get deeper in the strike zone, stay on it, and drive it right over the shortstop's head, just as he did.
The tie game continued into the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th. Rookie Rich Harden escaped trouble in the top of the 12th with an inning-ending groundout of Gabe Kapler. As the game was approaching the midnight hour, Durazo again was in the middle of a rally with an opening walk facing Derek Lowe. With two outs and the bases loaded, the game was still tied at four until Ramon Hernandez decided to send the Oakland faithful into a frenzy.
Bluff at third by Chavez. And a bunt, third base side. Miller charging.
It was a series-opening 5-4 win in 4 hours and 37 minutes. And maybe because the clock was about to strike midnight, Ramon seized the moment.
I saw the third baseman, he's playing back. And I was like, you know why? He throws sinkers, two outs. It's easy to bunt third base. It's never easy, but the ball goes already that way. So, you know, if I get one bunt down here and it's good, I think the game is going to be over because they're playing really fine. The last thing they're expecting is that. And in my side, I was thinking if I get it down, we go home to sleep winning. If it's not, we go back out and play one more inning. So that's the advantage when you play at home. So that was my kind of thought process. And I look and say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to let the field. If it goes fair, we're going to end the game. And I ended up, I did it, and I come out first, and everything come out right, and we ended up winning the game.
The walk-off bunt single, ending game one of the 2003 Boston Red Sox series in the American League Division Series, still one of the greatest moments in Oakland history. The 1972 season got off to a late start, thanks to the first organized player strike, and even later for Vida Blue, who held out and wanted a bigger contract after a stellar MVP and Cy Young season a year ago. But in order for the Athletics to reach their first World Series as Oakland residents in 72, they needed Vida's impact, but in a much different role. And on October 2nd, 1972, he delivered one of the greatest moments in Oakland history. The A's returned to the postseason that year, hoping for a better result. Baltimore swept Oakland in 1971, and Dick Williams' club forged a bond that would lay the foundation for new heights. They won 93 games in the regular season and played the Detroit Tigers for a chance to go to their first World Series. The five-game championship series saw the A's win the first two games at home. Once the series moved to Detroit,
The Tigers even the series at 2 apiece, setting up a winner-take-all showdown. It would be hard in any era for a pitcher to duplicate what Vida accomplished in 1971. 24 wins and an ERA under 2. He didn't pitch in a regular season game until May 24th that year. While he made 23 starts, his role going into the Tiger series was the bullpen, and he shined.
Dick Weep said, "You're going to be in the bullpen." I'm thinking, okay, I knew John was pitching that game in Detroit. There's no way in heck I was going to get in the game. All of a sudden, you know, get Vida up. And I'm like, what? And there I go. And my motto was as hard as I could, as long as I could. And that's what I did. And we ended up winning, beating Detroit. And, of course, we went on to play the Cincinnati Reds, which was a great series.
Game 5 starter Blue Moon Odom left after 5 innings with a 2-1 lead. Vida had already pitched previously in 3 games, not allowing a run, and Williams gave him the ball to start the 6th and delivered a 1-2-3 inning. Then in the 7th, he reminded the Tigers third baseman Aurelio Rodriguez that he still had the spark of a season ago.
Northup, short lead off of first. 1-2 on Aurelio Rodriguez. The crowd is screaming they want a hit. Blue is ready. Here's the pitch. He got him! Vida Blue strikes off the side. No runs, 1 hit, no errors, 1 left. We go to the 8th inning. Oakland 2, Detroit 1.
Blue pitched around a leadoff single in the 8th and a 1-out single in the 9th. With 1 out to get, Vida faced Tony Taylor.
Tony Taylor moves up to the plate. The count is 2-2. There are 2 down. There's a runner at first base. Vida gets set. He kicks high. He throws. There's a drive in the center field. Back goes George Hendricks. He is under it. The Swinging A's have won the American League Championship. The Oakland A's are champions.
On their way to the first World Series, thanks in part to Vida Blue's spectacular series. 4 games, 5 1/3 relief innings, and no runs allowed. The final out of the 1972 American League Championship Series against the Tigers, one of the greatest moments in Oakland history. Little did the A's know that when Oakland acquired Chris Davis from Milwaukee on the eve of spring training 2016, he would deliver moment after moment with his toy cannon-type power. Tough to top his night on May 17th of that season against the Texas Rangers. An incredible night of power that was punctuated with an historic finish and one of the greatest moments in Oakland history. Davis had back-to-back seasons of at least 20 homers with the Brewers. 2016, however, was the beginning of establishing KD as one of the greatest sluggers in Oakland history. Chris didn't burst on the scene. He hit 3 home runs in April, but by the time May ended, he was in double figures. Jesse Hahn and Cole Hamels faced off at the Coliseum on a 76-degree night, a harbinger of things to come because the ball was jumping. Oakland opened the scoring in the bottom of the 2nd with a Danny Valencia long ball, followed by Davis, setting the stage for this special night.
Here's Chris Davis standing in, and Hamels delivers a breaking ball hit to left. This is way back. Turning around, Rua will watch it fly, and the A's go back-to-back. 2 pitches and 2 home runs. 2-0 A's as they rock Cole Hamels in the bottom of the 2nd.
What the A's would learn over time is that when Chris Davis got hot, simply stand back and enjoy the moment, as he connected once again in the bottom of the 6th.
Chris Davis at drive left center. Desmond going back. Desmond at the track looking up. He will watch, and the A's have tied it up. Chris Davis hits it out to left center field. His 2nd home run tonight. The A's 3rd round tripper. And here in the bottom of the 6th inning, it's the A's 3 and the Rangers 3.
What was already a very good night for Davis with 2 homers was suddenly spoiled on the top of the 9th by Texas and their center fielder Ian Desmond. His 2-run blast gave the Rangers a 5-4 lead. While the script may have had a few pages more than expected, the conclusion was one for the ages. Oakland had loaded the bases with 2 outs and set up an opportunity for Chris to lift the A's on his shoulders. A single would likely get the job done,
But instead, Davis owned the spotlight.
Anxious moments here. Now Davis, he is ready at the plate. Tolleson staring in, has the sign. First base side of the rubber. And again the 2-2. And here it is. And swung it, hit the left field deep, way back. Brewer turning around. He will watch a game-winning grand slam for Chris Davis in the bottom of the ninth inning. Do you believe that? A's 8, Texas 5. And it's Davis's third home run tonight. They're going wild at the Coliseum.
Davis spoke after the game about that special moment.
That's something I'm going to remember for a while, and I'm just happy I could come through for the team. It was a big situation, and I just tried to stay calm and put a good swing on it.
Chris would go on to hit 42 home runs that season, the first of three consecutive 40-plus home run, 100 RBI seasons. Only he and Hall of Famer Jimmy Fox had that distinction in Athletics history. Davis may have been soft-spoken, but he never doubted his ability.
It's a combination of looseness and quick hands, but as long as I get ready to hit on time, I don't think there's a pitcher that could get me out.
Chris Davis's walk-off grand slam on May 17th, 2016, one of the greatest moments in Oakland history. While 2024 marks the 57th season of Oakland A's baseball, most agree that the 2012 campaign was the most exciting regular season in its history. Down to the wire to win the West on the last day is a memory forever etched in the minds of Oakland fans. Several things along the way had to come together to make 2012 so special. And July 21st of that season was one of those benchmarks. The first Major League save for Sean Doolittle. And it's one of the greatest moments in Oakland A's history. Sean was a 2007 first-round pick out of the University of Virginia. While he pitched for the Cavaliers, the A's wanted his bat and slick glove at first base. But knee injuries derailed that dream until a return to the mound opened the door to an 11-year career. The A's were facing the New York Yankees that night, and Oakland won the first two games of the series. The Yankees took a 1-0 lead on Jared Parker in the top of the fourth, but then the newest and brightest star for the A's stepped to the plate in the bottom of the fourth.
18 for his last 32, and Cespedes just has that look about him when he's in the batter's box recently. He's had three home runs during the stretch and eight RBIs. A's down 1-0. Here's the 2-1 fastball, and we are tied at one. Hello and goodbye, Yoenis Cespedes. Way back in the seats in left field over the out-of-town scoreboard. The star continues to shine brightly for Yoenis Cespedes. Cuban cannon unloads his 13th of the year, and we are tied at one, and there was some wow factor in that blast against Philip Hughes.
The game stayed tied until the bottom of the eighth, when Brandon Inge, who came to the A's in May with his hard-nosed play, inspired the A's and delivered in this big moment.
Inge leads off against Hughes. The pitch, a high fly ball. Right center field, Granderson back. He's to the track, right to the wall. And it is gone. He hit it out. And the A's take a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning. A towering drive to right center field. I think it hit the facade of the bleachers, then it came back onto the field, and Brandon Inge gives the A's a 2-1 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Doolittle pitched only 25 innings in the minors that season at three different levels before coming to the big leagues on June 5th. Ryan Cook and Grant Balfour were closing games, but on this night, Doolittle's name was called. Alex Rodriguez greeted him with a single. But then, the rest of the game belonged to Sean. Up next was Robinson Cano.
Ready, the kick, here it is, and it swung on and missed. He throws a fastball by him at 94. Cano K's, He's 0 for 4, and unless the Yankees send this one to extra frames, his hitting streak is over at 23 straight.
Then Mark Teixeira struck out while A-Rod stole second. Who followed was Andrew Jones, another Bronx bomber, but that's when Doolittle reached back and closed it out.
Doolittle, motionless on the hill, checks to get a sign. Now ready. He's at the belt. And the 3-2 on the way. Swung on and missed. He throws a fastball by him. It's the first major league save for Doolittle. He does it with a flourish. He strikes out the side. The Yankees leave the potential tying run at second base. And the A's have won the first three games of the series against the Yankees. Remarkable pitching once again. They've given up only six runs in the three games.
To earn his first big league save, Doolittle had to stare down 1,547 career home runs from those hitters. To be the best, you've got to beat the best. And Doolittle said that after the game.
You know, that's a situation that you want to be in. You want to face the best. And, you know, it brings out the best in you. And fortunately, I was able to rise to the occasion.
There was a meeting on the mound with pitching coach Kurt Young before the final at-bat, encouraging Sean to win the battle with his best pitch, the fastball.
That's exactly what happened. Kurt Young came out, and real quick, we reviewed the scouting report again. And we talked about what the plan of attack was going to be. And that whole at-bat, we'd worked on the inner half of the plate, and when he jerked that one foul, we went back to the outside corner, which we hadn't gone to yet during the at-bat, and, you know, I was able to get it by him.
It was Doolittle's only save that season, but he became an important part of a trio of power arms down the stretch to win the West. The night Sean Doolittle earned his first big league save is one of the greatest moments in Oakland history.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.